Welcome back to the Band Catholic Podcast. I'm Steve Priest.
I'm Thomas Wirtz.
And I'm Brock Martin.
Today we're talking about why nice isn't enough.
Not enough. This time.
Ooh. Okay, before we hit record, we were talking about this episode, and Thomas, your merge habits on
well,
the
we
freeway.
Well, we got into how we each drive on the highway. I think we have very different
Wildly
approaches.
Different. Some people flip people off, some don't. Some don't care if they're old ladies. So,
Thomas said, man, I get flipped off a lot, and I flip people off, and I've never flipped anyone off. And then Brock has a very strategic approach.
It's been a long time.
To his road rage, but we're about to get into merging, and Thomas wanted to bring this up.
The reason we're going to get into this, we're talking about aspects of being nice or being a gentleman, more specifically. So we're elevating that a little bit. And we started talking about what are some things that gentlemen should do. Some of the old school chivalry. Hopefully you guys have heard that term chivalrous or having chivalry. And I think there's plenty of areas in our culture today where we're young men, and some of it's not their fault, but again, they can own it still. Haven't learned some of these basic things. So we'll start with driving, because that's an area where the term road rage is one that many of us have heard. And one of the things that I've learned over time, because I know how to drive really well, is how to merge. And when you're merging.
So set the stage. There's two lanes and one is closed.
It could be when one's closed. It could be as you're merging on from another road, right? And your on-ramp is emerging. Yeah. You're supposed to merge at the point where the lanes actually are combined.
When one lane legitimately is ending.
So the dotted lines have stopped.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Right? That's how engineers design it. That's how it's designed to be. That's the most efficient way to get cars merged, because you have more cars
than you do lanes at that point.
Yes. And so you're stretching out that opportunity. You'll see it a lot of times. So on my way home, I get off of the highway and I merge onto Kipling Avenue. And the merge point, it's really weird. You merge on and then you have dotted lines for maybe 20 yards and there's a light, right? And so it's hard to sometimes get over if there's cars already lined up. So I can stop and stop until finally someone lets me in. But then you create create havoc behind you as other cars are coming on. So you're supposed to go all the way past the light where there's another 20 yards until actually the lane merges. But some people really don't like that when I merge the right way. And so I've been met with middle fingers. And so I think it's very important for us to do things the right way, to understand, guys, how to merge. That's the first thing we're learning here. So you go all the way up.
Okay, what about when you're on the interstate and they're doing construction?
This is what I was thinking.
And there's a sign that you can see.
Totally.
Right lane closed.
Right lane closed. And you see the arrow.
You're supposed to go.
Should you get over now or should you go all the way down?
You're supposed to go half a mile.
What do you mean half a mile? What if you
to where it closes. To where it's
merges. To where it closes.
The merge point.
So you should drive in that empty lane.
All the way.
Even if people are merging over.
I know that is probably what we learned in driver's ed.
I agree. It is the right way to do it. But what do we do when no one else is doing that?
That's a hard one.
I will say I am the guy that would then straddle both lanes to make sure.
To block. You're a blocker.
I'm running interference for these tools that are just trying to get ahead of everybody.
It's not a tool. It's actually the guy who knows how to drive. And sometimes, guys, doing the right thing, you're going to be alone.
So what do? You're saying we should do it the right way no matter what. So even if everyone else is getting over early, we should stay in that lane. Or should we run interference, like Brock said?
I think there's a prudential judgment, because I've seen it where guys in the big trucks are like leaning over and clearly people are pissed off. If it's a long line and waiting, then you got to be able to know, okay, people are going to get pissed.
Yeah.
To the point where people do really weird things on the road.
Like
rage is real.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you got to make sure, am I putting myself at risk by pissing off all these people doing this? Or if it's, it's 30 yards, it's not a big deal.
What about, do you let the cutters in?
I do try to.
Well, they're not cutters, Steve. They're actually proper drivers.
I feel like they're cutters.
I used to not. I used to be like Brock. But then you realize, no, that's actually the right way to merge.
I do, yeah. So the zipper merge makes, the scenario in my mind is the one that Steve just described, where there's a long line of cars moving very slowly and a ton of space to the merge point, and guys are zipping by, and it's like, okay, everybody's doing this early.
Ran into this recently out in California, getting into like a amusement park, and there was one lane that would then turn into the parking lot, and people saw that long line of cars and they buzzed up and then they got in. That's not a merge lane.
No, that's different.
Right? Yep. That's different. So we should not do that.
If we know
there's a line and we're just trying to avoid the line, that's wrong.
Totally.
You should get in the line. should we let cutters in?
Not in that instance. Mm. I mean, you could be nice, but that's very different than someone that's properly driving and following traffic laws. And
okay, so how is this related to nice is not enough?
Road rage. Okay. That's what we're talking about. When you drive,
how do you treat other drivers? Yeah. How do you treat other people?
And how do you treat the person that's going 55 in the left lane, not like Brock Martin, who is going too slow in the left lane?
That was an aggressive
right?
approach, Brock, that I'm not sure you should share on the podcast. I think you just need to change your behavior.
That's fair.
I have a really bad habit of talking poorly about people. So I will be like, gosh, that guy doesn't know how to drive. What a joke. Yeah. He shouldn't be out here. On snowy days. Yeah. It's like, they shouldn't be out here. And my wife always corrects me, like, you don't know their story. You don't know what's going on
That's
in their
so
life.
True.
You don't there know. Is. Maybe they have crazy, like, a panic about being out in bad weather, but they still have to drive. You don't know if it's an emergency and they're trying to get somewhere. And I get really angry. I assume they're just either a bad person or a bad driver, and I talk poorly about them.
Yeah, name calling, like, oh, this is a moron, or like my kids have been like, Daddy, why did you call that person a moron? And I'm like, ooh, I gotta nip that in the bud, not do that anymore.
Well, I would explain it. Well, they're a bad driver, and they should not be out on the roads, is what I would say. But that doesn't justify it.
Yeah, so trying to be charitable on the road. And these days there's plenty of, I guess, on social media, you can see the road rage that goes really bad because the guy pulls a gun and this kind of just crazy stuff. Yep. Those are probably pretty rare, even though they're more visible because of social media. But it's just good to treat that person as if, to your wife's point, you just don't know what's going on. Let them on.
Just be kind.
Okay. But being a gentleman, chivalry, we've talked a lot about how you treat women. I think that's a big one for men, how you treat women. So a few simple things, and then we'll shift to the next topic. If you're a hugger, try not to do full-on frontal hugs.
Or long hugs.
Give them a side hug. If it's obviously a friend and there's something different there, but side hugs.
Or if you realize you're attracted to that person, give them a high five instead. Yep. And just walk up and be like, hey, what's up?
You like
high
to squeeze.
Five of them.
Yeah.
If you realize there's an attraction to a girl that you should not have an attraction to, give them a high five instead of even a side hug.
Yeah, I think that's
in the old days, the and I don't know the timing, probably more, you know, Victorian ages, a man was never supposed to even extend a handshake to the woman. It was always the woman that initiated if she wanted to shake her hand or not. And if she didn't, you would never try to touch her, shake her hand, anything like that.
They would just
like that.
So I think there's something in that, the principle of just the woman needs to be comfortable with any physical contact with you. So
it's just respectful, right?
Yep. The other piece of that is hands off. Don't be touchy-feely. Mm. Guys like to hug, lower back, rub their shoulders, whatever. Just get your hands off the woman. If she's a friend or an acquaintance and not your wife. So hands off, no touchy-feely. And the last thing on this, if you guys want to throw anything else out, is when you walk into a room and there's multiple women in it, try to treat every single female in the room.
Give everyone attention, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Obviously, if one's your girlfriend or fiance or your sister or something, fine. But otherwise, treat them all the same.
Same amount of attention, same amount of time you're talking to them.
100%.
Yeah.
And that's a hard one, but I think it's really good for us to kind of check ourselves.
I think it is good to think about. Just super practical. I mean, this shouldn't be a surprise to the illustrious listeners of the Maine Catholic Show, but little things like holding the door open. I think that I am at least striving for chivalry, but I was thinking before we hit record, like, when's the last time I opened the car door for my wife? And it's been a while. Like, maybe on date nights, I still try to do that every now and then. But even on date nights, like, I'm thinking back, it's been a while since I've opened the car door.
Dude,
and
let's go.
I should level up there.
Do you do that often, Thomas? Do you walk around and open the door for Kate?
Yeah, if it's the whole family. I think, well, thankfully we have a van, so the van door is the same side as her door.
Thomas
so
just pushes
helpful.
The button that automatically opens it. No, he's like, here you go, honey.
The big van. I wish it did that. I think so. There's been moments I didn't.
Yeah.
And so
I try to open the door for anyone, even when that means I might lose my spot in line to get a table at a restaurant or something like that. I just always am like,
Male or female.
Yeah, but I'm just going to open the door for whoever's behind me.
Love it.
And oftentimes they're surprised by that. Women are especially the older ladies, because they had that 20, 30, 40 years ago. They had this chivalry that any man would open a door for any woman.
Yep.
And so the older ladies now, when I open it, they're like, oh, you're such a gentleman. You know, you'll hear that. And that's exactly what it is. I'm not flirting with them. I'm just showing them respect. Dignity. as a daughter of God.
Well, I think that's a great transition to the other point. So we talked about driving, how to treat women. Again, we're not exhausting this, but mm-hmm.
how to treat the elderly.
Yep.
Yeah, I think this is a good one for us to discuss, because I do think our culture just over the last 10, 15 years, you know, that's why we pray from conception until natural mm-hmm. death, because mm-hmm. I think that one area where the dignity of the human person is under attack a great deal, obviously we're aware that that's happening in the womb and we should fight that too. Mm-hmm. But it's happening with the elderly. And I think that, you know, I was sharing with the guys just a little bit ago that I was reading the Daily Gospel this morning, and in the rebuke that Jesus gives to the Pharisees for today's gospel was directly related to their treatment of mm-hmm. their fathers and mothers yep. and the elderly. And yeah, I think that this is an area, you know, we little opportunities, whether it's at the grocery store or Home Depot, whatever, to step out and to try to do something that you're trying to be aware of their needs and their yeah. experience and, yep. and to be a positive encounter for them.
Yep.
But then I think more extreme examples, like our old house up in Westminster, we ended up buying the house next door was our old next door neighbor. He was a widower and his kids didn't really spend a lot of time with him. Mm-hmm. And we actually took our kids to the retirement home he moved into a couple mm-hmm. times just mm-hmm. to,
that's awesome.
Just to say hi. And mm-hmm. to see how he was doing. And we knew, you know, he had built that house. And so there was a lot of like emotional ties yep. and to step into like a new place where you're now being like, people are taking care of yeah. needs that you've been able to do for your entire life. Mm-hmm. And I think, did we do it perfectly? No, but I think, you know, every time we showed up, every time my daughters came to give them cards that they colored and stuff, like mm-hmm. it made his day.
Yeah. But I think it's actually a corporal work of mercy to visit the elderly in nursing homes
yeah,
and, you know, the infirmed. And they can't live on their own anymore. That's the thing, right? And so they're infirmed. They need help. And this has been on my heart for years, and shame on me, I've not done it. But I think there are many, many elderly that go without visitors
totally
regularly, and they just feel alone, and gosh, what a terrible feeling I bet that is. And imagine if you walk into the closest nursing home to your house or where you live, so you don't have to travel far, walk in and say, who here is not getting visitors? I would love for my family to come see them just once a month, maybe yeah. once a week if you're called that, but we want to bring cookies once a month and just say hi. That's an easy lift yep. for us. And to just go check in on them. I would love to be paired with like an old veteran of like World War II who's a Catholic guy who's not getting visitors. Like, oh my gosh, could you imagine the conversations stories. And the cool. stories that you would yeah. have there? But anyone, that's an easy one that we can do. And we should, I think, as a culture, do more of.
Yeah. Did you both live down? I know you lived down south in Louisiana for mm-hmm. a while. Were you down south
Texas,
too?
Yeah.
So where it's more of the cultural habit to say sir and madam. Mm-hmm. And I love that. Mm-hmm. I love
yes, sir.
My kids saying yes, mm-hmm. sir, to anyone older than them. You know, our older neighbor, it's Miss Carol.
Yeah, yeah,
Carol.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Like, mm-hmm. you know, really like just, so they go spend time with her, but also mm-hmm. showing some deference, the respect by just saying yes, ma'am, and yes, sir. My kids need to do that better, but teaching them that. I think that's yeah. another great, and even for us, for adults, oftentimes the older person says, don't call me sir, man, my name's this. But you're like, yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
But that idea of just showing them respect, right? Yep. I think totally. It's huge. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Just the bigger idea of nice not being enough. It reminded me of an awesome Jordan Peterson clip that I saw recently. It's from several years ago, but I saw the clip again recently where Jordan Peterson's talking about so much of the culture and what's happening with masculinity right now is to make men nice and make them safe. And he said, what makes a man is not that he is safe. It's that he's dangerous, but it's that he's dangerous with self-control. And I think the idea of nice not being enough, taking on chivalry, like it demonstrates that we are capable of laying our lives down, but we are in control of ourselves so much so that we can make a gift to the people that are around us. And I think obviously the ladies in our life are a big beneficiary of that. The elderly are a big beneficiary of that. I think even people, we did an episode recently on, you know, how to engage your neighbor. Like, I think those are opportunities, the people who are in your neighborhood, to be able to see. And it comes back to this principle of treating people with the dignity that they deserve because they are made in the image and likeness of God. Mm-hmm. And, but I love that JBP quote, because the reality is like to be dangerous, but in control
yeah.
means you are capable of making a gift of yourself and you can direct that gift. Yeah. And we have the ability with chivalry to make that gift to the individuals we're talking about.
Well, we're also called to radical holiness, right? So if we actually look at this through an eternal lens or perspective, we're called to be saints. We're called to be holy men of virtue. And so we can't just be nice. Nice isn't enough. we could be the nicest guys out there and the best drivers and the nicest drivers and that go visit the nursing homes. We could do all these nice things. But if we are not pursuing this radical prayer life and life of virtue,
yep,
for the sake of holiness, not for the sake of being nice or liked or our outward experience.
That's a great point.
We could be all those things and be forever separated from our Savior in hell.
Yeah,
right? We could be nice and go to hell, but we are called to be holy, and that's why nice isn't enough.
Because mm-hmm. nice doesn't mean sacrifice.
Yeah,
I think is what you're saying too, and we're called to be sacrificial, like Brock said, that laying mm-hmm. our life down and just yep. being nice can be easy. Potentially, it can be to our own advantage. But can we actually sacrifice? And you could even say good's not even enough, right?
Yeah.
We're called to be great.
Yeah,
yeah.
And you can be nice and comfortable. You can be good and comfortable. But can you be great and comfortable? Mm-hmm. Not as easily.
Yep.
Again, that nice doesn't mean sacrifice. And so are we living in such a way where we're constantly striving to give more of ourselves to sacrifice? Yep. Again, in small ways, which is how we become great, or in big ways, but are we willing to do those? And that's the idea. That's hard things. These are sacrificial things that rip the Band-Aid off of our selfishness a little bit.
Right? And we live in a both and faith, right? Where I'm sure you've met these certain individuals who do all the holy things and are kind of jerks and grumpy and angry in life. And you just don't want to be around them and certainly not imitate them. But then you meet some of the nicest people in the world and they have no faith.
Yeah.
We live in both and where all these,
that's so true.
All these examples that we walked through, we should do these things. We should open the door for our wives. We should be pleasant drivers. We should visit the old people in nursing homes. We should do all of these really, really good, nice things, but we should also pursue holiness.
Yep.
In fact, we have to pursue holiness as well. Or else all those nice actions are just empty actions in the grand scheme of things.
I wonder, maybe just practically, are there ways that we can start committing a little bit more to certain sacrifices, mortifications?
Mm-hmm.
Lent's a great time of the year to to think about this. Every single Friday, all mm-hmm. year long, unless it's a solemnity, is meant to be a time of sacrifice, of fasting
mm-hmm.
in some way, shape, or form. So that might be one small practical thing.
No, it's a great way to detach yourself from the comforts of the world. And my team here at Focus, every Monday in our work call, we come up with a new sacrifice for the week. And it's just Monday to Friday. And it's hard because we're always fasting. We're always sacrificing something, but it's great because it doesn't last that long. And so however terrible it is, cold showers are the worst in my opinion.
Agreed.
It's only 5 days or three because I don't shower every day then those weeks. but whatever it is, it's a great reminder. And so it's become really fun for us to do this. Tomorrow is an additional fasting day that we're going to do this week. And so it could be no sweets, it could be no snacking, it could be all sorts of different things, but just to get something new in your life each week has been a really fun way to go about it.
Awesome. Yeah, I do love that idea, Steve. Yeah, I think to use Lent as a springboard to grow in some of these areas is a super clutch point, Thomas. And we should probably do a whole episode on prayer, fasting, and alms, which are the three traditional practices associated with Lent. But think through it. You know, nice is not enough. Thinking about chivalry, what are ways that you can engage your prayer life? Your almsgiving is a big one. I think that the concept of tithing is so lacking in the Catholic Church. Almsgiving is supposed to be on top of the 10% mm-hmm. tithe, not, hey, I'm going to start tithing. But for, you know, maybe this has been something, a completely new concept in your life. I actually, real quickly on the tithing thing, I want to share a quick story about you, Steve, that actually changed my outlook on this long time ago. So I was a missionary down in Texas, and you were kind of mentoring me a little bit as you were leading campuses out west. And I had a really big fundraising push. I had just gotten married and we were moving to Denver. And Steve was like, what's your tithe situation like? And I was like, my tithe situation, I probably tithe like 6%, 7%. And Steve's like, that's not a tithe. Tithe is 10%. And he's like, and I want to challenge you not to tithe off of what you're currently making. I want to challenge you to start tithing off of what your goal is. And I was like, punched to the gut, like not sure if that's capable or if I'm capable of doing that. That summer, I, on the last day before my new role started, I hit my goal by one, like I surpassed it by $1.
Wow.
But it's because I implemented the advice that you had given me, which was to tithe. Mm-hmm. And the reality is true that where your treasure is, mm-hmm. there your heart will be also. And so we should probably do a whole episode on that, but tithing and then prayer, fasting and almsgiving, I think are probably
a great
deep dive.
for sure. Let's pause there, because that could be a great one that we get into, and yeah, just what tithing is, you know, mm-hmm. net mm-hmm. versus gross is a big conversation for a lot of tithers as well, so we'll get into that. But being nice is not enough, guys, and I'm looking myself in the mirror when I say that too. I need to be better in a lot of these areas, and I need to be a good, holy, virtuous man that God has created me to be.
I'll start opening the car door for you, babe.
Were you talking to me?
I thought he was talking to me too. He was literally looking at me. That's it for today on the Man Catholic Podcast. We'll catch you next time. God bless.